Well, hey, Gundamaniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me, seems like it's been forever, Steven Midnight Hatter. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Yeah, I feel left out. I feel like I'm the only person not playing Gundam Breaker 4 right now, but I feel better because at least I've got you here with me, and I know that you're not playing Gundam Breaker 4 at this moment.
True. Good point. And I'm glad I got to play it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this stream. Yeah. Right now. No. No, that's funny. Welcome, everyone, to the Gundam Explained show. We're going to have a few cool topics today. We're going to talk about Gundam Breaker 4, some impressions. A bunch of people in Discord already playing it, posting their impressions. So we'll talk about that. Also, a bunch of new announcements for Gunpla, which is always exciting. There's some surprises in there, some things I think are pretty awesome. And I think we'll go through and rate them as we go through. It's like, should they have even bothered with this or not? And we'll see what chat says. I'm curious. And that'd actually, from exercise. That list, we need to pick like our top two.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That we think definitely. That we'll pick up. The other thing, chat, I see Xeonic Shadow. So if you guys missed it yesterday on Steven's channel, Midnight Hatter, we had Xeonic Shadow on. It was a lot of fun talking to him. Part of SIG New York. We talked about all their stuff, all their happenings, events coming up. So check that out. I'm going to have him on my show soon because he's one of the founding connections of the channel. Yeah. Back when Gundam Explained was first starting out. That was fun. And then luckily I'm fine today, but I've been getting over a cold or sinus infection. So I even missed Monday's show over there on Free Speech Geek. So
yeah, likewise. I was in the office on Monday. So Kyle had to hold it down himself.
Oh, really? So, poor guy. Oh, I feel bad. Yeah. Cause it was, it was one of those things where, like, I don't get sinus infections too often, but it's like sometimes I'll get an allergy thing going on, and I'm like, okay, if this is bad enough, this might turn into a sinus infection. I was hoping it wouldn't because, you know, I had the next few days off. Like, yeah, yesterday, today, tomorrow, I took off from work specifically because tomorrow is my birthday, and I knew Star Wars game and the Gundam game was coming out, so I wanted to take that time off. And so and I had
now Wukong, like
I know Castlevania, like we're gonna get to that, but yeah. So I still had to work Monday and Tuesday, and luckily, there's only a few meetings I had to do where I had to talk with a client. There was one specifically where I made sure, okay, I'm going to be on camera at the beginning. It's like the most composed I could make myself in 30 minutes. And I think I did a good job. So that's what's crazy is, again, my birthday is tomorrow. Your birthday is the day after. And Kyle's birthday, Simply New Type, Free Speech Geek, is tomorrow also with mine, which is insane.
Weird. Just weird.
I know. And like, that's why I can't wait for Monday's show. Hoping I'm probably gonna be good by then to be on and talk. Like it's just kind of crazy that we had this commonality of making content around like Gundam and other little things we like. We had that common interest with X-Men. I thought was interesting, and then the birthday thing. Like that's
and this is probably a bit of a tangent, but isn't it weird that none of us like the mobile suit Virgo from Gundam Wing, despite all three of us being Virgos.
That's a good point. That is very interesting. Anyway, found that fascinating. But what's cool is, so for this time off, it's mainly been spent, because this is when I usually on the show talk about, what have we been up to this week? So what it really has been is getting over the cold, getting my work done, I have my days off, is spending this kind of birthday week doing playing a bunch of cool games that have come out. Black Myth Wukong is one excellent game. I'm not going to talk a lot about each one of these games. You can check that out on Blue Gamer. Black Myth Wukong, really fun game, really good game, worth checking out. Star Wars Outlaws, surprisingly way more fun than I was expecting, worth checking out. And then there was this surprise drop of the Castlevania DS collection. And I know people have been tuning in lately, the past year. It's like Castlevania has been like my side piece.
You know? Well, and what's funny is it's like you had been slowly kind of drifting away from Castlevania. Like, oh, you know, you kind of play through Rondo of Blood. And then all of a sudden it's like, well,
here's the DS. I know, and it's so crazy because there had been rumors that there was another Castlevania game being made, and it's like, well, what could it be? This collection includes a brand new Castlevania title, even though it's a classic version and not a Metroidvania, it's still really good. And I wonder if that's what they were referring to. I hope not. I hope they're referring to a full-on game, but anyway, it's just so cool during this, again, my being selfish here, my birthday week, that I got a brand new Castlevania game with a DS collection, which, you know, dual screen. I had messed around making like my custom DS, you know, for the emulators, but the way they did it was pretty cool because they made it where it's the 16:9 screen, but you would have the full screen of the game on one side of that. And then the other side would be the two DS screens of if you had like the menu opened on one.
Gotcha. So yeah.
You get to see everything while you're playing. Not that's rare for video games.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah, and it's just because of the fact they were trying to figure out how to port this to somewhere other than the DS that...
Yeah.
Because I think that's a neat idea where if you're playing a game, you have other screens that are just other information.
I mean, I think that given the current day and age that we live in, where a lot of people are working remote, a lot of people have like two monitor setups, like we are used to processing... And maybe this is to our detriment, is like we're used to processing lots of information all at once. It's like we have a core monitor and then we have like a side monitor that has certain, you know, diagnostic details open. I don't think it would work for every DS title because I do know that there are a few DS titles that it's like you do need the interactivity of the touch screen in addition to,
You'd be surprised what they did there.
Oh,
they
really? Made
it where right stick is a cursor for touch screen and right trigger is mouse click. But they also made it to where you can use a mouse if you're on PC. That's and then they cool. also made it to where you can rearrange the time. But I think to get to what you're saying, there are some DS games that wouldn't be able to be ported. Like Contra actually is vertical. The Contra 4 made by WayForward is a vertical game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Metal Slug wasn't because that was on DS and they ported that, but that wasn't. But there are games where it like uses that would probably be hard to do. But the biggest takeaway I think really from this Castlevania collection is that Konami put out probably the best way you could put out a retro title, having all the options, because you go in and choose which region you want to play. You can play any region that was available. It has the soundtrack, it has the gallery. Just think if they made a Gundam retro collection of some type, like a Versus collection, and it was like the PlayStation 2, all the Versus games, and they just like high-res the, you know, the textures. Not too much that you have to do there.
Yeah.
I had a gallery where you can look at the box art, the soundtrack. You know, I think it's interesting when I think there's a time we've been giving a lot of crap to Konami. You know, but it seems like either they've realized that like when it comes to video games, if you're true to the art form, that kind of wins over.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all gamers want. Like, I think that especially when it comes to retro titles or remakes and things like that, as close as you can get to the original experience is always going to be more popular. And so it was really interesting, you know, like you said, with Konami in particular, you know, not only with the Castlevania title, but now there've been some news about Metal Gear Solid 3 Delta.
Yeah.
Which is the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3. And some of the changes that they've made are very interesting because it's like, if you ever played the original Metal Gear Solid 3, the difficulty rating was not like, it was not easy, medium, hard or anything like that. It was, I like Metal Gear Solid 1 or I like Metal Gear Solid 2. And so it was like, or I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game. And so depending on what you selected, it tweaked certain settings of the game to make it easier or less difficult. Well, now they have introduced two new answers to that question. Obviously, Metal Gear Solid yeah. 5 and then Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. And so you have other options that are unlocked as a result of that question. But then the actual gameplay and what's going on in the game is supposedly is closer to the original than people originally suspected. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, because I heard something about them taking elements from 5 to add into this. Like, it's almost like, would you say they're almost doing it like Resident Evil 4 remake was to Resident Evil 4, where it's like
yeah.
updating it to be modern, but not like a completely different experience.
And what I think is really impressive, and all credit to Konami for this, is that they've got, you can use the control scheme from Metal Gear Solid 5, where it's a little bit more tactical, like action shooter, or you can use the classic control scheme where the camera is like kind of overhead, like the first two Metal Gear games. And like, you know, so it's like, if you want the classic experience, there's a setting for that. But if you want a more, you know, kind of modern third person shooter experience, and you don't want it, like, because you and I have talked about this sometimes, where it's like you kind of go back to play an old game. And like, after playing modern shooters, it's kind of hard to go back to like GoldenEye, and yeah. you don't have like the right stick to look. And so you're kind of like,
right. Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Because yeah, I think with each game, it's always kind of different. Yeah. With GoldenEye, that's a good example. Or even Doom. It's mm-hmm. funny going back to play Doom, like even on a controller or mouse and keyboard, and I'm playing it like I would play, but it doesn't have that look. You know, but it's like I'm still playing it different than when before I would. I remember I would use the mouse. I forget, like in Doom, sometimes use the mouse maybe to move forward or something. That's coming back to me, like maybe Wolfenstein. Or
yeah. Something. So I think like the modern control scheme is, you know, using whatever like your left stick is. It, you know, it strafes left and right when you do that, right?
Yeah.
So I think the old control scheme was, if you did, you know, WASD, your left and right actually rotated you, and then your mouse was how you would strafe, which is yeah. kind of counterintuitive with the way that you move back and forth with, you know,
yeah.
W and S.
Yeah, that's interesting how the controls have evolved, especially like when I'm playing RTSs and modern ones use WASD to go up and down the map. But the old ones, it was the arrow keys. So it's like I have to move my mouse and my, you know, the keyboard closer together. And that other layout allowed you more access. Anyway, that's modern problems when you play a lot of games.
exactly.
Okay. Well, so
I think the moral of that story is that we do need like some Gundam game remastering.
Yeah. And it's cool because I think Side Story shows that. Or Missing Link. Shows that they have the ability to do it and do it well. And that wasn't too long ago. I mean, even if they were just to re-release that and release it in English, remove the lock-on thing.
Yeah, I think that would be huge.
All right. Okay, another thing to move on to. Let's see, because we were talking about that... yeah, these tangents are going off. Something about what I was getting into this week, you know, with
the Star Wars. What Gundam you've gotten into.
Yeah, and Gundam Breaker. I'm going to save the Gundam Breaker part. Yeah, I'm supposed to be getting the collector's edition in the mail today at any time. I was hoping to be right before the stream, but I'll do an unboxing of it too, because I'm really excited to mess with that kit. So the other thing, though, is, you know, I dropped that video earlier this week of the Space Marine.
Yeah. You
know, which... I'm excited again, being a video game guy. The Space Marine game is coming out, Space Marine 2. The first one was excellent. I got into Warhammer because of Dawn of War, you know, the RTS.
Yeah.
And then, Dawn of War 2. And then since then. So down the street from me, not down, but super close, is a Warhammer cafe, which I thought was there before, but I never really, you know, it's one of those things where I wasn't super into it. You know, I wouldn't be spending money there. Not anymore. But anyway, so I went to go check it out, and it's awesome. They've got this, it's like in the downtown of the city of Grapevine. There's the main street, and it's crazy. It's right on Main Street. There's a statue of a Space Marine. When you head in there, it's got, you know, all the, miniatures set up. It's got tables set up where it's even got little, like, it looks like painting stations set up where if you wanted to sit and paint, which it seems pretty interesting. They even got a little thing with a chess table, so you could sit and like play chess.
So is that like kind of like the geek equivalent of taking your laptop to a Starbucks? Is yeah. like, I'm going to take my minis to the store and like no. paint in front of everybody.
Yeah. Just let everyone you know. It's interesting too, because then further behind that room is the cafe. So it even has tables and chairs and it has benches where you could sit down. All their drinks are Warhammer themed. I remember my wife was asking for one and it was like one of the weirder words from Warhammer lore that she was trying to say. But even back there, they had things set up like statues, memorabilia, whatever. All these old magazines. So you can grab a magazine and then sit there and drink. And but they also had these toys that I'm collecting, the Joy Toy. And there's one in particular that I feature in that video, and that is this mech. That's badass awesome. Looking mech. Like, this looks cool. Even though my idea of a mech is more of the traditional Gundam style, like
a humanoid. Yeah.
Yeah. Even in my mind, that's not as realistic. You know?
I know what you mean. And I think that that's what people tend to get into when they have that argument of like Eastern versus Western mecha. And right. I mean, yeah, to me, that would fit right in with like Exo Squad.
Yeah, exactly. I think Exo Squad's kind of the same way. It's like, I think I appreciate it because it looks like what a real mech would look like. But yeah. To me, you know, the Gundam Mobile suit is to me what the badass futuristic sci-fi mobile suit could, you know, look like.
Yeah.
Another cool thing with the Space Marine or the Warhammer toys is they even have, let's see if I can get the light on that, the Tyranids. Nice. They have a bunch of different types. They even have like the warrior that has the swords, fully articulated, really well done. And you know, again, this is in preparation for the Space Marine 2 game coming out because it's got, you know, the Tyranid now, swarm.
Isn't that amazing? Warhammer is a franchise that really works in just about every medium that it's been ported to, right? Like Warhammer 8 RTS is fantastic. Yeah. Like Warhammer tabletop game obviously is, you know, still extremely popular to this day. A shooter, because Space Marine is yeah. a shooter.
Third person shooter. It's more of the Gears of War style compared to like Bolt Gun being a boomer shooter style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So or
the Dark Tide. Yeah, there's so many.
Right, exactly. And so even within the genre of shooters, it's like you've got a variety of shooters. You know, why can't we have this with Gundam?
And it's a very good point. And it's what I was thinking when I was walking through that store, because what I'm seeing is all the miniatures is like, oh, I wish this was Gunpla and Robot yeah. Spirits. You know, but like, it's like, okay, that's fair. There are Gundam cafes. But then I'm like, okay, let's look at video games then. Like Warhammer. and what's interesting, what Warhammer does that you could tell is different from Gundam, it's almost like with Warhammer games, they might be good, but they're usually universally janky because they're more indie.
Gotcha.
Whereas Gundam games tend to look low budget because they're highly produced because of the studio.
It's that AA niche.
Yeah, they're on that budget where they're like, well, we're going to keep this budgeted. So that's why with these Warhammer games, sometimes they have some are a little more sticky than others because there's this intrinsic like quality to them because they're being made more of an indie fashion than because it's usually all different developers. They're just like, hey, yeah. I want to use this IP and make a game. And the Speed Freaks, that's one I was playing recently. It's like a free-to-play combat racer. Like,
yeah.
Where's the SD Gundam cart free to play? You know,
oh man, that would be awesome.
So you bring up another good point though, because I think I'd be more forgiving with some of the choices Bandai Namco makes with their Gundam games. If maybe we were getting more like Gundam Evolution, they come out with that and it gets shut down. In my opinion, it was kind of a low tier game, even though it was a good game, it was competent, yeah. But like give us a few little low tier games, like also like the like a free to play SD Gundam kart racer. I think that's a great idea.
I think that you're spot on. I think that a lot of those Warhammer games tend to be passion projects as opposed to something that they're trying to, you know, invest heavily in. And it, you know, we're going to get into it when I guess we're talking GB4. But what's interesting to me is the, I would say, the apparent lack of fanfare compared to like a Gun Evo, which the launch event around that, you know, I'm not saying that obviously the fans are hyped about Gundam Breaker 4, but do you think that maybe from a marketing perspective, it's like, well, I guess we don't have to invest as much attention or dollars into, you know, generating all this buzz around Gundam Breaker 4 the way that they did with Evolution?
Yeah, I was thinking that because it could be that part of their marketing budget was esports. It's like, okay, we're going to spend this much because we're actually targeting esports, you know, which again, and I learned this. Did I mention this in a previous video? I was watching a Star Wars Explained video and Alex Damon on there was explaining the issue with the Acolyte or Star Wars Disney in general by touching on the DEI, but in a way where it's, again, it's not that it's the DEI. And he explained it simply by saying, when Disney got Star Wars, they said, okay, movie one on this date, movie two on this date, movie three on this date, get them made. Not, okay, let's write this story for these three movies. So the idea is once you start mandating specific goals, or even more than a goal, like a specific, like arbitrary. It's almost like, okay, now you're getting into now you're losing some of that essence. You need to buy a specific date regardless of the quality of story. Okay, you're losing. Oh, needing it to make sure you're checking these boxes for your DEI department. Okay, now you're again losing. So
well, and I think that that's where a lot of people have touched on that difference between like art versus content, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're generating creative works on a schedule, then you're no longer making art, you're making content. I'm not like criticizing that as like a, you know, content creation just shouldn't be done at all. But when you do have that, when that's the structure and your priorities are not, hey, this is something that we want to do because this thing is important to us, then
that's a good point. Yeah, it's one of the things I look at. It's like, okay, if something's not working for me, what is a thing that is making it have to be a certain way? You know what I mean? So it could be, these dates, these things have to come out at these. Okay, then that's, you know, the issue in the first place. So my point with getting around that of that discussion is understanding with like how, you know, Bandai is doing Gundam in their video games is they're trying to reach these specific goals mandated corporately and not like outside. Oh, someone has an artistic idea. Let's do this, you know? And that's, again, the thing. Actually, let's go ahead and get into Gundam Breaker 4, since that's what, you know, there's a lot to share. Anyway, let me share this right now.
Give the people what they want.
I'm looking at this right now, Gundam Breaker 4, almost 8,000 people playing. The peak was earlier today at 26,000. So that was probably the time where, like, because it technically came out earlier. So it was like around that time when people were finally getting around to playing it.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I mean, that if you think about it in terms of like, so is this just United States numbers for Steam?
I think this is
worldwide.
Worldwide.
So then I imagine that you're probably going to have that peak from when it first started, but you know, here we are I'm on the East Coast of the United States. It's only 5:30 now, so people are getting off of work. I think that peak is going to go up again here in about 30 minutes to an hour when people get home and they start firing up their computers.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. That's a good point. Anyway, that looks good. Like, when I look at this, I mean, this isn't Helldivers 2 numbers, but we got to look at a couple things. One, Helldivers 2 was a slightly independently made thing. I mean, Yes, Sony was publishing it, but it was because they saw something good. Sony was also pushing this on their front page of their store. And the news item was, look, a PlayStation game on PC, you know.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like, I did like kind of go through the PlayStation store earlier today and like about a half hour ago. And yeah, I mean, I had to dig and like go to the search function to pull up Gundam Breaker, which was, you know, right now, obviously their front page is covered with like Outlaws and like, you know,
oh yeah,
all of the usual suspects when it comes to free to play microtransaction loaded games. So I was just like, man, yeah, like who do you have to pay to get put on the featured page of the PlayStation store?
So that is interesting where, just to think this game is getting released alongside Star Wars Outlaws, Black Myth Wukong. There's that Castlevania drop when Nintendo had that direct. That is, how many people were watching? It was like over 200,000 people were watching that Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
Or maybe more. It was insane. And that smart of, I don't know if it's Konami or Nintendo, it's like, we'll shadow drop this Castlevania DS on a Switch stream. Make there people buy it on Switch, you know. So what I'm getting at is I wonder if there was plans for any sort of, I think Gundam Breaker 4 got announced on a Nintendo Direct, but there was nothing about it yesterday. Even though I think that was more indie stuff. Well, no, right. Because they had Konami other day.
Oh yeah. Good point.
Yeah. So yeah, nothing about Gundam. Yeah. That's it goes back to your point about the fanfare. There's like not,
yeah, you know, and I understand that Gundam Breaker just as a series is definitely a lot more niche. You know, it's not, it doesn't have the genuine mass appeal that something like a GBO2 might have or a Gun Evo or even Battle Alliance. But like, you know, we got to give it something. And a bit off topic, but like, why aren't the homepages of video game digital shops like tailored to what you've already played? Like if YouTube has an algorithm to tell me what kind of videos I'm going to like, then how come the PlayStation store doesn't just recommend nothing but Gundam games to me?
That's interesting that the PlayStation store does that. I'm not on the PlayStation store enough, actually.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like that they don't do that. They only recommend what they,
what they're interesting
promoting.
So. I know Steam does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe it's
another Steam W.
Maybe stacking it's them up. Oh, and I wonder. Well, Nintendo, I think they do a good job of like what's new, but there's so much junk that it might bury something. Anyway, so a couple things like maybe you know talking about this stuff will help it be popular. I know that.
Oh yeah.
So I'm showing the stream I did this morning, and I actually got a lot of people to join, more than I thought. So I'm hoping maybe that it's, you know, popular online that people are actually looking up this game and it'll get them to want to play. So what I'm going to do is give my quick impressions of not being that far. I haven't finished chapter 2. Apparently once you finish chapter 2 is then when you get the ability to upgrade individual parts. Cause right now I would get parts and be like, well, I'd rather use this or that. And then I was looking it up. And so, anyway, so from what I played, it's actually pretty fun because I thought the previous games, the combat was a little simplistic. And while it's still to a degree here, I think it's more of simplistic in terms of maneuverability of your character in combat. Like, so I like games where there's like a parry, a dodge, a perfect dodge. Like, I think that's a better way to explain that. This game is not that, but it still has elements of those games where it's like so many different options for combat. So not only are you picking whatever what you look like, but for your weapons, it's left and right hand, which I really like that idea. And I like that it's both ranged and melee, and that pressing, and you can see on the left-hand side, LB and LT switches you that have the camera and the way it works to be more for melee and more for shooting.
See, I was going to say, I mean, already just, I know that we've talked about, like, you know, people were kind of criticizing the graphical fidelity of GB4, saying like, oh, you know, Gundam Breaker 3 looked better. And we kind of hypothesized between you, me, and Xeonic Shadow that, you know, just getting it onto the Switch and having it run 30 FPS is probably why graphically it doesn't look as good. But what I'm going to say is that from a UI perspective and a camera perspective, this is miles better than Gundam Breaker 3. The camera actually keeps the things in focus that you want in focus. The UI is so much cleaner. You know, I remember playing Gundam Breaker 3 and it was like, you know, everything was just a cloud of visual effects. Like there was just and beams and stuff going on all over the place. I think that that's been dialed down a little bit and it's to the game's benefit, not its detriment. Like the visual effects are intentional and not just
and as you mentioned, it's the graphics don't look as good, but it is very sharp, very clean, very smooth. Like, so I'm playing on a monitor with adaptive sync, so for instance G-Sync on my Nvidia card, so I have it set to unlimited frames, and I should turn on what the frames are, but I'm sure it's at least 144, or at most 144, since my monitor's refresh rate is. But
yeah,
I even think you wouldn't need the most powerful computer to be able to play this, even turning down the effects if you need to. Because someone asked that in Discord, and I looked at the specs and the requirements, and you know, sometimes it says it requires a GPU, which I get that, but there's some newer integrated CPUs with decent enough GPUs that I almost feel like it could handle this because it's Unreal Engine. I feel like the answer to that is, since storefronts allow refunding, buy on Steam, see if you can run it, and then if not, refund, and then you can just list in there why and, you know, put system specs. They're usually good about that.
Yeah,
I love this twin saber attack because the other aspect, let's kind of get into what I'm liking with the combat is, and I'm trying to relate this to another game I've played recently. I would say it's more action RPG in the sense that you're picking up loot and they have like these other functions to it. Like you'll look at like, oh, what are the other stats? And so I'll have a left hand twin blade, right hand sword, axe, whatever. But because of the two different ways they are, one, the game wants you to combo because the more you combo, the better off your loot or your the attacks are. But the different weapons you have then lead to different types of combos depending on what the weapons are. And it's really awesome because, like, for instance, with the axe, if I'm doing combos and I'm ending the combo with an attack from the axe, it will do like a slam on the ground, for instance. Like, there's a lot to that. And so, there's different attributes then on the weapons that say, this is what it will do if you activate a combo, and you see like the bonuses, you know, over there. Yeah. And even when the match would end, it would tell me where, where you get graded or rated on, you know, I could see what I'm missing and all that. Some stuff that's been in the games before, really.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's overcoming, I think, one of the core problems of really any Gundam game is creating a weapons and combat system that is, you know, function and flavor as opposed to just flavor. Most Gundam games where you can swap out beam sabers, like, you know, Gundam Breaker 3, what's the difference? The color? Like, you know, you don't get a lot of variation in what the weapon actually does. So that's awesome that it actually gives you some functionality attached to the weapons that you're equipping.
Yeah. And so what's really cool then when I'm setting, you know, on the left and right hand side, you could see it's where you press left trigger or right trigger LBRB to open up the menu to then contextually a lot of games are doing this now. This seems to be the norm for games.
Yeah,
but you can set specific attacks depending on what weapons you have, and they have some pretty neat attacks. Likewise, breaker parts. So there's like these builder parts. Yeah, there's these parts called builder parts that you can put on that they're pretty cool how they function. It's parts like that are accurate from Gundam, Yeah. Like these bits that I had, and you visually attach them on you, but then you can also assign how you then utilize them. And so that kind of, I remember you were talking about in Gunbreaker 3, you would make a build that had all these crazy bits everywhere. So,
oh yeah. I mean, that was one of the coolest things you could do is take the high mega cannon from the double Zeta, and mm-hmm. you could slap like seven of them all over your chest in different places. And it's just like,
yeah. Know. So I don't know how far it lets you go yet, but I so far like the options, even when like they had the Sturmfaust that the Kampfer has, and you know, I had a left and right, and it there's like maybe 6 points on each side of your body or backpack that you can place it on.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of customizing there. So I would even say with what we were just discussing, to me, this game is the most, and it almost goes to what you were saying too, the most like what you're making it look like has a function to it. And it tries to keep that, looking real, or what you would expect it, you know, to look like.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's important for a Gundam Breaker game, because if I had any complaint with the Gundam Breaker series as a whole, is that the core gameplay loop is not actually playing the missions. You play the missions to unlock the parts. The core gameplay loop is building your Gunpla and painting it, yeah, and doing all the fun stuff like the customizations. And so anything that you can do to make that part of the game, which is the most fun part, then influence the rest of the game, that's going to be where the bread and butter is. Because, you know, like I said, if you play Gundam Breaker 3, you can just slap on the Kshatriya shoulders and the Kubale backpack, mm-hmm. and you have infinite funnels for an entire level, and you can just breeze through the entire thing. I don't think that is I think that it's not as fun, obviously, but B, I don't think that that's a functional way to play Gundam Breaker 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see as we go, because so far what I've been doing is just picking, once I beat a match or a mission, whatever the latest stuff is, I'll just throw some of it on. But then when I went to go do that, I was like, well, you know what? This looks a little goofy. Let me paint it at least. And I had fun with that, because I love that it has the presets. And actually, for those that are watching, maybe I can fast forward to that. Because there's a time when I was, yeah, painting and, oh man, where's that? I don't want to delay too much. Anyway, yeah, there's a time when I was painting and I saw that, oh, there's presets. And I had a list of all these different mobile suits, like, and Zeta was on there, so
that's awesome.
I immediately had a Zeta color scheme on some. So yeah, it makes that part fun, because for me, the type of gamer I am, I'm actually playing for the mechanics first. And for me, mechanics of painting or building is not that big of a deal, but it was a lot of fun here, especially with how much, as we were saying, the parts are functional with like how your combat then system is. So,
yeah. And even just like the preset locations of body parts in this are looking so much better than, previous Gundam Breaker entries, where, you know, if you would use some of the, like if you were to use like a Zeogok body that, you know, kind of had its head in an awkward position, it would make the mobile suit look a little too goofy. I think that they did a much better job of just positioning like the joint parts of when these mobile suits are connecting.
I think so, because there was times where I was kind of like you're alluding to, going to like goofy suits to see what it would look. And it was like, okay, that actually seems to work. Yeah. But I love this. I love the the presets for the paint schemes. Yeah, because I had like GM3, GM Custom, you know, a lot of the ones I like. So yeah, I like that. That made that a little more fun than I thought.
Yeah.
So yeah, that part's cool.
Even if it's just a starting point to like, if you wanted to do your whole suit in this preset and then, you know, use that as your
your base to go with. Yeah, because then it has like those specific colors. That's exactly a good point. And then real quick, So if you join the Gundam Explained Discord, which is a link below, in it under Gundam Games, we have the Gundam Breaker 4 area where, yeah, you can go and, I guess, talk with others and, yeah, post pictures. And then I actually have the voice channels broken out. There's just a general Gundam Breaker 4, just to, like, if you want to talk or just do single player and stream. But then like I have it broken down to the other. So if you're, like, trying to find people to play with, because that is my main complaint with the game, is the fact that it's not cross-play.
Right.
Not cross-save. Man, if it was cross-save where...
That'd be a total game-changer. You know, I think what's frustrating about that is that that's something that Bandai has been able to pull off in the past with the SD G-Generation games.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. And even though it was manual, it was still...
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I agree. So they know it's there. And then also it not being on the Xbox platform, a lot of times there's Xbox and PC crossplay built in just because of that, but now we don't have that, and that's less people to play. You know, to me as a Gundam fan, that I'm making this channel to want to promote Gundam more, I do think it is a mistake that this game isn't on Xbox, just for the fact that, hey, make a deal that it's on Game Pass, or just have it there so people stumble upon it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't imagine that the overhead is that much steeper. And, you know, I know that you've been talking a lot about, like, the MT framework that has been preventing some games being ported over to Xbox. Yeah. But that's not an issue when you're working in Unreal Engine 5. So,
yeah, exactly. And Microsoft, of course, is going to want to make sure. I mean, if these companies reach out to Microsoft, they're like, hey, can you help us make this work?
They're always you want us to help you help us make money? Absurd. Get out of here, sir.
Because that's, like, something I've been talking about lately, where people are, like, calling for Phil Spencer to step down or whatever. And I think people are mad because they look at it as, like, they're loyal to Xbox. No, Indiana Jones is going on PS5. But Microsoft has always been about the backwards compatibility, the cloud saves, the online multiplayer, to where they're really good with game preservation. So to me, seeing a Gundam game on an Xbox platform means that it's going to be preserved in one way or another moving forward. Yeah.
Because sure. Lord knows nobody else cares about preserving these games, except for the fans. Like the fans,
or Konami, maybe. Yeah, or strangely enough. Yeah, all of a sudden. No, but so, you know, then, you know, that was just my little impression so far up through chapter 2, Gundam Breaker 4. I think it's fun. If you're a Gundam fan, I think it's worth it.
It's absolutely like a must have if you're a Gundam fan.
Yeah,
even just the roster of mobile suits. I know that this is one of those, like, you know, you get into the EA Sports category where it's like, well, why would I buy the current year of Madden or FIFA? And it's like, oh, well, the updated roster.
Oh, but yeah.
We are talking about, like, when did Gundam Breaker 3 come out? Like, almost a decade ago, if not a decade ago?
Maybe, yeah.
So, like, yeah, we're talking about almost a decade worth of mobile suits that are now going to be available to play with in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Up with modern graphics, updated to, like, almost all the modern stuff, again, lacking that cross play, cross save. So that's the other thing I want to end with. Like, I hope that, like, I hope maybe they patch it in later, because that could just breathe new life in a game. Think if they do it this way, they patch it in and then say, here's the Xbox version. And I wonder if it's one of those cases where it just, like with Black Myth Wukong, and, you know, they'd be able to hit it. The Series X target, you know, like, these developers can't hit that. Baldur's Gate 3, I think, was one. So, like, they have to delay the game. But I think they would have just said, if that was the case or not. But anyway, so you don't have it yet, though, but you do plan on playing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
and I'm being honest here. Is this the type of game you like to play? Even if it's not exact, like, kind of like with me, it's not like the best of video games, but it's...
Yeah, you know, With games like this, and this kind of happened to me with Breaker 3, to be honest, is once I had unlocked all the things that I wanted, I was kind of like, okay, I built my mobile suits, and then like I didn't really have a desire to pick it up and continue to play it. But
no, that's I think what is cool too is I want once that gets to the point, like what are some DLC that might come out that might be like, oh, I can pull my suit out back out of the closet and use it, utilize it.
And I think that we've talked about GBO2 in the sense that like it really is like a library of mobile suits, right? Like there's very few games out there that have this, you know, ability to go through and explore every mobile suit from UC. And so even as like, this is definitely the type of game that you would want to get as a hard copy because, you know, eventually this is going to be your library encyclopedia of mobile suits.
Outside of UC. And I like I'm showing here, like the box art.
I know, that's so fantastic. And I love that you can actually, you know, buy the kits. I think I may be remembering wrong, but I'm pretty sure that like, you know, when you would go through the box art of Gundam Breaker 3, it's like you had to have collected all of the parts for those mobile suits in the game. Like you couldn't just buy the kit from the store.
Yeah, and this, it lets me buy, it's not everyone that's available, but it actually let me buy the whole kit. Like it's like 10,000 GP a piece. I had like, over 400,000 GP. I was like, okay, so I'll just, buy it. One thing I want to get to, because I love this conversation, Lucas Garrett is saying, I think that Microsoft is moving away from Xbox, Adam. They want a streaming platform like Steam. That's their end goal. Console gaming in their eyes is a thing of the past. That is true, but I think what I'm saying is still true, and it's true with PlayStation. That's why PlayStation is putting their games on PC, because I think these console manufacturers, other than probably Nintendo, know that if people can start accessing these things on PC or a mobile device, that's where they're going to go. And Microsoft is setting themselves up to be like, okay, we can make money on any platform. You can have a Microsoft account on any platform. And Nintendo kind of doesn't have to worry about it, because I think people buy them for them. And Sony is even seeing where people don't need to buy a new console. It's like, people aren't buying PS5s because they have PS4s. And so Sony's like, okay, it's about the service. It's about getting the games to people, not about a hardware. And I think that's
the hardware game is always going to be you go ahead.
Oh no. And hold on to that thought, because what's interesting is with Microsoft doing, and I was saying they do so much good for the industry, where they did the cross play and cross save so early on with PC, they were already like someone like me where I don't need to buy an Xbox, even though I did, when I can just, play it on PC, have the cross play. And what you were saying, Stephen?
Yeah. I kind of lost that thought.
Oh, hardware, something about the hardware.
Oh yeah. The hardware being like kind of a diminishing return, right? Because once we've reached a certain level of graphical fidelity, like you can't push consoles any further than, even no matter what the top of the line console is, it's never going to outperform a PC. And then even smart TVs are starting to be competitive with consoles in terms of their ability to stream. Like my Samsung TV can stream like Fallout 3 to the Amazon Luma.
That stuff is around the corner. It's crazy.
The idea that like, and right now people typically will buy a console, and it's usually a younger crowd as the console kids, like, guys our age, we have powerful PCs that can run. Well, you have a powerful PC.
Even the younger kids anymore, because they have their iPhones or they're using their parents' PCs and laptops.
Yeah.
I know, so even my kids, they don't care about consoles.
That's crazy.
It's just PC. See? Yeah, because Roblox, free to play. Fortnite, free to play. There's games like Valorant. You could just, on PC right there. It's interesting. Yeah, and all the top games are on PC. It's like that. It's interesting that that's how it rolls. Let's move on, because there's another last thing I want to touch on that I think is pretty cool. These are the latest reveals for Gunpla, January to March 2025. So let's go through
some good ones.
Let's see. Entry grade strike rogue. Or is that
Rouge?
Strike Rouge. Okay. That's one of those. Yeah. Not anything I'm interested in.
I don't know. I kind of like this one. I've developed this like kind of love and appreciation for the entry grade line for some reason.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Good point. When it comes to that entry grade engineering.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just high grade. you know what I mean? It looks good and
easy to build for younger folks.
Yeah. Option part set looks cool.
Yeah. I like that there's more color involved. Like, I feel like a lot of the option part sets used to be just kind of like flat grays and browns. So it's like having this nice pop of orange, even though most people that buy it are probably going to paint it anyway, but.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of give it something. Yeah, that's interesting. The top of that headpiece almost looks like the, what am I thinking? What is it? It reminds me of the Penelope for some reason.
Yeah, it does.
There's the BB Senshi, which these look cool. I mean, I'm not going to get them, but
I mean, I might get that Dendrobium. Like, that's pretty cute.
that is pretty cool. This is the star of the show right here, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet looking. And the fact that, I mean, if you look through some of the promotional images and the fact that, like, you can dock the torso from the Infinite Justice in there, like to recreate the. Now, I kind of wish that it was just all one kit, but you know.
Okay. Yeah. That is neat. Wow. Yeah. Now, this.
We talked about this yesterday is that, here we go. So you have that image of like the battle damaged parts, which, you know, again, it's to recreate that scene from the movie of like, you know, the Gundam head poking through. This is something that you would typically only see with robot spirits.
Yeah, exactly. That is, and it's cool that they're doing this. I hope this is a continued trend, but it's almost like I would rather have a robot spirits version of this, but one, would it do that too? If it did, that might be like way, way more expensive than just having a hobby kit, model kit version.
Yeah, true.
I think that looks great. And to go back, there's also the, add-on, which looks great. That you know, because it's got the scope dog look in a way, but also that's on some Zaku types that have, like, you know, the radar stuff.
Like the flipper. And
yes, flipper. I was thinking flapper, and I'm like, it's not flapper, Adam. Don't say flapper. Okay, thank you. Anyway, yeah, I mean, this looks great. I think... So far, that's some of the coolest of the announcements.
And these new option part sets come with multiple connectors, which is really cool because, you know, they're going to be compatible with multiple different types of kits.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see myself getting these two and have it displayed like this because that just looks awesome.
Yeah.
Now, this is awesome because, you know, I like the action figures and I would love to get more of the, you know, 1/12 scale. Six inch of the UC timeline. So I think it's crazy that they're making one of her, but I guess Puru 2 is a popular character anyway.
She's got kind of a cult following.
I think because of the Marita Cruz, you know, probably connection. So. Yeah. And yeah, that's really cool.
And at 1/12 scale, it's amazing that they can pack that much articulation into such a small figure.
Yeah. I like the detail too, like the anime, like it looks like it's from the anime. So I built, cause I think it's the same type of branding of, you know, the Witch from Mercury, Saleta. And it was fun too, because it was like the water slide decals were for the eyes. So
that's cool. Yeah. I need to pick up a choo-choo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Check this out.
Now, to me, this is the star of the show.
Yeah, like, this is actually pretty amazing. Yeah, Psycho Gundam Mark II, because this is one where even if they made a Robot Spirits version of this, there's no way. You know, there's no way I would spend the money on that.
Yeah, and they packed in a lot of accessories with this one. You know, with all of the different the reflector bits, tons of beam effect parts. I guess does it come with that stand for the for the reflector bits? So that's awesome.
I mean, this looks like the product shots for a Robot Spirits action figure because it always has the page of the accessories.
Yeah.
Beam effect parts, the alternate, like that has the alternate head on there, damaged head. It's, yeah, this is, you're right. This is, I think, the best thing on here.
So and far. If this is the direction that they're going to go with the high grade line where they start packing in these types of accessories, then like I'm here for it.
Same, same. Yeah, I hope we start seeing that more. All right, try to go through these a little faster. There's the Vidar, which looks cool. Take on that.
Yeah, Master Grade, which I think, you know, that's probably what only the there aren't a lot of Master Grade Gundams from IBO, so
That's interesting. Okay. That means that must be a popular one. Some of these SDW heroes. We got some keychains. Oh, is that it? Okay.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. If that was it. Yeah. What would you say is, hey, I think it's that Psycho Gundam R2.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I'm predictable. What about you? Do you like, what's your must have from this?
I think the Psycho Gundam R2 is number one, but number two might be the Puru 2.
So not the Zigok.
Yeah. Even though I like the Zigok, I think just because it's UC, you know, the, Puru 2, and it's of a cool character, a pivotal, I think, moment of Gundam, like that character and what it meant.
Yeah.
What about you?
What's that?
Well, what was your second after the?
You know, I would say Puru 2 only because, you know, I hope we get more figurized, you know, figures, especially from UC. It just trends in the right way, but you know, that entry grade I might pick up just for fun. But shout out to Lucas Garrett.
Yeah, thanks, Lucas Garrett. 10 from Lucas Garrett. Here's hoping that the Gundam Breaker games continue to be successful so that eventually we will be able to scan our customized Gunpla into the future games or 3D print Gunpla we make in those games. Heck yeah. That is exactly where I'm hoping this is going. In fact, when you start up Gundam Breaker 4, I like that there's a narrator that's talking. He's like saying the time where we battle with Gump. Like, I forget what the words are exactly, but it pumps me up when the game starts. That is cool. You know, thanks a lot for that. Because I'm also excited about the Silver Phantoms. Yeah, Silver Phantom or Phantoms. Actually, I think
I have Silver Phantom, the VR game.
Or
VR experience. Amen, Lucas. Like, I hope that this is, you know, the way of the future is integrating digital and physical together.
Yeah, and that Silver Phantoms is supposed to have another angle to that, you know? So with the popularity of Gundam Breaker 4, Silver Phantoms having kind of the VR experience, yeah, I'm hoping that these two are kind of like, yeah, making it where Bandai's really looking at what's something we can just get out there for people, you know?
Wait. Did they already confirm whether the Requiem for Vengeance suits are going to be in Breaker 4?
Oh, well, that's a good point. No.
That's the first DLC right there. It's already Unreal Engine 5 for the movie.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't. Yeah, if anyone knows, let us know. I have to keep. I bet so. I bet, like, now once the release subsides of Gundam Breaker, then right before the show.
Yeah. That's right. If this idiot came up with it, then obviously. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that just about does it then. Yeah. Thanks everyone for joining today. Yeah. I think the main takeaway is, Gundam Breaker 4, tons of fun. I'm going to have a proper review that I'll do. Also be doing an unboxing of the collector's edition. I'm going to build and do a review of the Gunpla. So expect that. Steven, anything to add?
No, great show. Thank you guys. Happy birthday, Adam.
That's right. Thank you. And happy birthday to you too. And Kyle, you out there, happy birthday. And anyone else, because I think there's some other people that I had mentioned in my comments that it was their birthday this weekend too. So cool. Well, hey, I'm going to be on Gundam Breaker tonight and later this weekend. Maybe I'll see all you on too. So until next time, be cool. I see y'all. Thank you.